You're listening to Beyond Athletic, episode 22.
Have a goal, stick to it, don't give up. When someone tells you, hey, it's worthless doing this, don't listen to anybody. Listen to your heart, and you'll be where you want to be.
Jumbo! You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Hello, Beyond Athletic Nation. Today's another athlete case study. Today's featured guest is Milan Ristic of Serbia. He's a track and field hurdler, so I'm happy to say this is my first athlete case study outside of volleyball, and there's more sports to come that we've already recorded, so get ready for those. Today we get into a bunch of things. We get into how, you know, he's a big planner, and his written goals have taken him so far, and he talks about how one of his biggest failures in life literally left scars, and how he was always the last one out. And he trained so hard after he was injured, and he was just dreaming and keeping things in front of him and going after it, following his heart. Truly a great guy to talk with. He talks about family and how grateful he is for not just his own blood family, but his wife's family, and how they supported him at all of his competitions while he was there in America, where he is still now. And we get into how he's going to be training with some of the best in the track and field world, David Oliver and Jason Richardson. So tons of stuff. Make sure you tweet me at Ryan J. Owens or at Beyond Athletic. I'll make sure that Milan gets that also. And leave a review on iTunes. That's really going to help us get out there to athletes. You can leave a bad one if you think this sucks, but I'll make sure to make it a better one if you give me some constructive criticism. So enjoy it. You're going to love Milan. I really enjoyed this, and share it with one friend. What's up, Beyond Athletic Nation? Ryan J. Owens here. Today's an athlete case study where athletes learn to go above and beyond. Today's featured guest is Milan Ristic. Milan, are you ready to go beyond being athletic?
Always ready.
Awesome. Milan was born and raised in Belgrade, Serbia, where I currently am, while he's actually in North Carolina. He went to college there in North Carolina first at Asheville, and then his junior year, he transferred to UC Cal Berkeley, where he finished his degree. He got married while he was in college, and he's a member of the Serbian national track and field team, where, is it still standing? You have a Serbian national record?
Yes, I do. It's an indoor in 60-meter hurdles.
And then you're also a three-time national, let's say, NCAA All-American. So now that we know a little bit more about your accomplishments and you, why don't you take a moment to share just a little bit more about you personally and expand upon your sports career and goals?
Okay, so as you said, I was born and raised in Serbia. Started playing soccer like every other kid back in Serbia. I played every day since I wake up from, like, let's say 6 a.m. till 8 at night. Just go in to get food and come out and play a little more. I started doing track. If you honestly ask me, I wouldn't say I don't know why, but I went to this competition and I beat everybody, all the track people. I was in fourth grade, I think. And my professor asked me, hey, do you want to go train track? And I was like, how do you train track? You just run. And I went to this club close to my house, and I joined them, and they were pretty excited about it. I was one of the best kids coming in. So I trained for 2 years. It was amazing. I ran for the It wasn't because you were so young, you don't run for the national team. I ran for my city for a couple competitions. And that was in Hungary. That was like the best time of my life when I was a kid, because you got to travel and compete and see all these other, let's say, track stars at that age. And it was just amazing. Afterwards, let's say eighth grade, I kind of didn't train anymore. I was just hanging out and playing soccer like every other kid also. Then let's say I got a call my sophomore year in high school from my the former coach, Ljubiša Stevanović, from Athletic Club Red Star from Belgrade. And he called me and he said, do you still train? I said, no, I don't. And he asked me to join the club. And I was thinking about it for a couple of days, go met with him, joined the club, and I started training. The first year, I don't know, probably like 17 years old or no, maybe 15. I don't know when we started high school. I forgot. It was like 10 years ago, but I was probably like, let's say 15 or 16. I started training again, and that was kind of serious because prior to that, I was training twice or three times a week, tops. And I didn't know anything about track. I was following the results online and watching the Olympic Games and World Championships and all like your Golden Gala meets, they used to be called. Now it's a gold, it's a Diamond League. And I knew, I know where the results are, but when I started, I just ran terribly. And each year I would improve a little bit. Let's put it this way. When I came there and trained for 6 months, I ran 12 seconds in 100 meters. Yeah. Then next year I ran 11:50. Then next year I ran 11:0. And then I broke it to 10:60. You know, I improved a second and a half in like not even 2 years.
Wow.
So I started loving track, and it was just a passion. You know, I after a year of training, I tried to stop. That was my junior year in college, but I just couldn't stop because it was such a it was a part of my life then. And not that I was doing it for so long, it was just because I couldn't do anything without doing track. You know, track was a part of my life at that point, and that was the only way to get out of school, you know, and just go and do my thing what I like the most. So I kept doing it. And my junior year, I ran hurdles. I had a bad injury my sophomore year. I had a torn hamstring. And then I didn't train for 3 months. And I thought that's why I thought it was done. And that's why I wanted to stop, because it was such a bad injury and recovery took forever. So, but after that, I got my eyes on the colleges in the U.S. and I knew I'm not good enough to come over. So I contacted some people, and the best man for my wedding and the current outdoor national record holder in hurdles, Nenad Lončar, he said, just do your job, be good in school, train, run good, and I'll send you to the States. Well, he kept his word, and he helped me out find UNC Asheville, where I came and started my college career. And then from UNC Asheville, everything turned upside down, and everything started. I started doing better in every aspect of my life afterwards.
Now that is a long story in that journey, and I love it, because a lot of people, you know, out there, they miss all the preparation, all the work that athletes have to do to get to where they are. They just see the numbers. So thanks so much for sharing all that. Now, Milan, before we get into today's topics, like your lessons from your failures, your triumphs, all that kind of good stuff, I'd like to start off with a quote. Do you have a quote or mantra that you could share?
I have a quote from Walt Disney, and it says, if you can imagine, you can do it.
I love that. Which, and what does it mean to you?
Well, it means to me, whatever you put as a goal, you can do it with the dedication that you put in and the work you put in. So if you work hard, it'll pay off. Just wait. And patience is something that you have to deal with. It's hard, but if you have patience, you'll do it.
This is something that comes up in so many episodes so far, and it's so true. And this is one of the great values. This is one of the great characteristics of athletes, and why they're actually prepared for life in so many other ways, because all that training, all that waiting around, if let's say you're you're just preparing, or let's say you're recovering from an injury, it makes you so patient and so resilient. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing. Now, I like to do one other thing, and I've been practicing this lately, and there's a lot of studies out there that talk about just the changes it can make in your life if you just acknowledge the things that you're grateful for. So could you share with us, as of today, just a couple things that you're grateful for?
My family that never gave up on me. My wife, who I met when I came to UNC Asheville, her family as well, that's always there for me. I have to mention this, and I'm really thankful for that, because they came to every big meet I ran in the United States. They're from North Carolina, and they come to every meet I ran. So yeah, that was pretty nice of them, and I loved it, respected, and love them to that. So my family, her family, my wife, and my coaches that also never gave up on me, and the team that I work on recovery.
Yeah. And I say to you today, just don't forget, reach out to one of those coaches, reach out to your wife, you know, and just look them in the eye or call them up on the phone and just say, you know, I really appreciate that. Because sometimes we forget to say our thanks to those people, and they deserve it our whole lives. So thanks for sharing that. Now, talking about coaches and mentors, who is your biggest mentor so far in life and sport? And it's okay if they're both different.
In life, my parents, definitely. In sports, my mom and dad were not as involved in sports. When I started, they got involved after I started. They started following everything, which is pretty nice. But in sports was my former coach, Ljubiša Stevanović, as I mentioned, when he called me to move to Red Star. He I like to say, opened my eyes and showed me the way to success. If it wasn't that guy, I don't know if I would be here right now.
Yeah. So we're about to dive into the positive stuff, okay? But first, I'd like to start off by highlighting, like we talked about, something that you struggle with or a big failure, because it can be paralyzing, it can be inhibiting to a lot of players. And like you, you could just say, you know what, maybe it's time to call it quits. Maybe I should throw in the towel. So let's learn about a time that an All-American national record holder of Serbia like yourself failed, and share with us, take us to that moment.
Okay, so I don't know if this is the biggest failure of my life, but it's a moment of my life that made a scar, and I would like to talk about that. It was, we were called, all the national team invited us, a couple people for each event, let's say two or three people for each event, to go to a track camp in 2009. And we all went to that camp. It was over the summer, and we all trained for like 2 or 3 weeks. Honestly, I can't remember, but it was a longer period than usual. It wasn't only 10 days. We stayed longer, and we trained every day in the heat, and it was just so hot. There was no shades or anywhere to run away from the sun. You would go in the morning, let's say at like 11 o'clock, then you would go eat, take a little nap, and at 5 o'clock you're back at track to do the second session. So we were there for, let's say, 2 weeks, and we had competition, which was a trials for a junior national team that would represent Serbia at the Balkan Championships in 2010. So actually 2009, after 2009 August. So we all trained, got ready. The meet was there. It was junior nationals. And we got all in the blocks for 110 hurdles. And I ran, I have to say that I ran the best time in Serbia for juniors in 100, 200. And then I came to run hurdles without running previous races. So I didn't run hurdles before that, but I just came to run hurdles as well, because that's my passion. That's what I do, and that's what I love. So we got in the blocks, and I could feel sweat dripping my chin down, and it was just so hot, and I was kind of dizzy, because I knew I was ready to win that, and I was just so excited to finish the race and be done with it, you know, and finally get to that junior national team, which I dreamed the most of, because most of my friends were on the team. I was the only one who never made it. You know, I would finish fourth here, third there, and I would never make it. Top two or top three make it sometimes. So I was always the last one not to make it. And I trained super hard that year after my injury. And then we started the race, and the first three hurdles, I got in front of everybody, and I couldn't see anybody. So in my head, I saw myself already winning, you know. And okay, fourth hurdle, fifth hurdle, I don't remember those, but at the end, like eighth hurdle, there's 10 hurdles in the race. So by the eighth hurdle, I hear my biggest opponent come in, and my rival at that time, my good friend Emir Bekic, I heard him coming from the side, and I thought he's gonna catch me by the end. So I tried to speed up. I got over 9 hurdle, over 10 hurdle. I'm about to win this race. It's 10 hurdle, it's over. And I trip on the ground and fell down so hard that most of the runners passed me, but I stood up and finished the race. I didn't finish last, by the way, but I finished the race and show myself that, I don't know, it's you finish what you start, you know? And that showed me that if you work hard enough, you'll finish whatever you start. And if you are dedicated, you will succeed in your goals. And my goal was, at that time when I fell, it was just finish the race, don't give up, you know?
Yeah.
So bad. I bruised my stomach. I couldn't eat for 3 days. Everything was bruised in there. I scratched my arms pretty bad, my hip, my hands, fingers, everything was bloody. And yeah, it was kind of bad. But after I fell at that race, it just showed me that if you have a goal, you have to stick with it and never give up on it.
Yeah. And why do you think, I mean, was there, what if you could kind of like laser in on one reason why you think you might have tripped, what would that be?
I wasn't patient enough to finish the race. I freaked out before it even happened that I was going to lose. So I think that if I was patient and more relaxed, I would have finished and probably won that race.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. I mean, there's a lot of takeaways in there for people. I mean, you talked about how going into that race, you were so hot, you were, you know, dehydrated. And even though you were, you had put in so much preparation. You felt like you were ready. You had that drive from being always the last one out, like you said. And then also you had worked your ass off after an injury.
Yep.
And so here you are, you know, leading. And then you have that mental lapse for just a second where you go, you let that fear creep in, basically like, maybe I could lose this, and something like that happens. And so I love your takeaways from that, is that if you work hard and you just don't give up, that you're gonna finish, it's all right, because there's always another race, basically, right?
Yep, exactly.
I love that. So now that we've talked about, let's say, a scar moment, something that really left a scar, let's talk about a time that you had an epiphany, a light bulb moment, where at any time in your life, just it was clear what you should do or how you should do it. And take us to that moment and put us there.
That was the moment in the season 2008-2009 in my track career when I got injured. Let's say I was training and I had a pretty bad cramp in my hamstring, and I thought it was nothing. So I took a couple of days off and it was just a normal thing. It went away. But then we had a competition, a pretty big competition in February the next year, 2009, where I got injured and torn my hamstring. So it wasn't just torn hamstring at one spot. It was torn at three different spots. So torn hamstring in three different spots, let's put it this way, it's like breaking a bone in three different spots. It's really hard to heal, and the therapy is painful, and it takes forever. But at that point, I thought I was done with track, and I kind of gave up on it, but never really gave up on it, if you know what I mean. Like, in the back of my head, I always knew that I will continue doing track and running track and be involved in the sports and all that. So I did the therapies, and it was really painful. Most of these guys that will listen probably heard about hammer therapy to destroy the scar that you have on your muscle, which is really painful. Did that for, I don't even know, probably 3 months straight.
Is that like cross friction therapy, like when they do a massage across the way that your muscle actually fibers go?
Yeah, so when your muscle is torn, or I say broken, when you break your muscle, let's say, instead of having one muscle, it's one muscle but two different parts. It's like two muscles, you know what I mean? So there is a tissue that creates in between where the muscle should be healed. There is a tissue creates a bone, basically a bone, literally a bone. So the doctors and the therapists try to break that tissue and just let the muscle heal with the normal cells instead of the foreign body tissue, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's just so painful. They were hitting you at a spot where it hurts the most, and you just sit there and sweat and cry. I don't even know. It was terrible.
Yeah. I can tell you, I felt that before with USA Volleyball, man, when they put like hard objects just straight into your muscle and you feel like you want to scream. It's one of the worst pains ever. So yes. Your aha moment, take us to that.
When I realized that hard work will pay off and that dedication is the only one way to success, I would, since I had that aha moment, I started making a list back when I was even younger for the week, every week, what do I have to do in school? So I would do it that way, you know. I wouldn't wait till, I don't know, last minute and do it. So if I had homework for Friday, I would put it on my note that day that teacher sent in the class, and I would do it as soon as I get home. So I would make my goals, and I would put my goals on the paper and stick with that and do it every time I can. So it feels great to have a plan and to know what you are doing and why you're doing it. And I did it for a better future, you know. So I was trying to be a good student. I was trying to be a better athlete. If I didn't try any of those, I wouldn't be here today. So hard work pays off. And that's the moment where I realized that if you want something, you have to go after it. You can't just sit at home and wait for it to happen.
And you need a plan. So the goals are really, really important. So thanks for sharing that. And that's really one of the biggest keys of a ton of successful people, not just in athletics, but in life. And a lot of business people that are really successful use that. You know, goals are so important, and written, not just like in your head, but written and with a deadline. So listen, we talked about a bunch of things so far, and we talked about your aha moment, like what just made it really clear how you can get where you want to get. And now I'd like to you pick your proudest moment so far in life. And I know you might have had many, but just pick one to highlight for us.
It happened about 12 days ago when I walked over that stage and got my diploma from college. That's the proudest moment of my life, definitely.
Yeah. And so, I would love to hear, because, I mean, it's kind of a perfect segue. I have this question always for foreigners that play in the NCAA or in Canada also. Why did you choose school in the U.S.? And what, after being there for so long, would you define as the biggest differences after experiencing?
Okay, I choose university in the U.S. because it incorporates sports and school at the same time. You can do sports and go to school, and instead of back in Serbia, let's put it this way, we don't have a sports in school. It's either you're a part of the club or you do it on your own and go to school. It's not all at the one place, which being here and going to school here allowed me to do two things at once and not be affected with the time that I would waste in a bus, in a car, going to practice over there. It just so hard back home to train and dedicate yourself to something and go to school. My personal opinion is that that doesn't work. You have to have stuff in front of you, and I guess coming here and having everything in the one place helped me out a lot, because I wasn't lazy to travel to practice every day, because I did it, and it was just something that took time off of school, and I didn't have time to perform as good in school as I wanted to, you know, because traveling to, let's say, okay, I'm gonna explain one day of going to school and practice back home. So you wake up 1 week, you go to school from 8 to 2 o'clock, so 8 a.m. 2 p.m. and you have classes during that time period. Then let's say you have to wake up at 6 o'clock if you live a little further from school, because it's gonna be a rush in the morning and you're gonna get stuck in traffic. So let's say you wake up every morning at 6 o'clock. You go, you eat breakfast, you go to school, you finish school, you're super tired by 2 o'clock, right? Then you go home, and then from home you go to practice, which is, let's say, again, rush time, 3 o'clock. You go home, you probably get there by 3:30. And if you have practice at 6, you don't have enough time to eat and go to practice. And if you go to practice, then you'll be done around 8 o'clock at night. And when 8 o'clock at night comes, you don't want to do anything but go to bed, because you're so tired from everything that you did that day. You see? And over here, it helped me out because I was able to create my own schedule. And I didn't depend on anybody else. We had scheduled team practice at 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock. And around that, I made my schedule, made my breaks in between classes, and I was able to organize myself better than I was able to do it at home. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons, because I'm very big on organization and planning stuff, and I wasn't able to do that at home, and I did it here, and I did it better than I would at any other place.
Yeah. And what's got you most excited these days in terms of hobbies, projects, goals?
Well, one of my big goals was to train with some elite athletes. And now that I have a chance of doing it, I will join Coach Brooks Johnson, who is down in Florida. He is a U.S. Olympic coach. And I will train there with a world champion David Oliver and another world champion Jason Richardson and a couple other people in the group, which is pretty exciting, and I'm really excited to be a part of that group and see what's next.
That sounds awesome. I wish you tons of luck and success down there. I mean, you're going to learn so much, and we talked a little bit about in the pre-interview how important it is to have mentors and just surround yourself with great people. And I mean, yeah, it sounds like you're going to have an excellent opportunity down there. So I look forward to hearing about it. Now that we've gotten through, I mean, just the bulk of really your story, I mean, I really appreciate you going through all that and sharing some of somewhat personal moments, you know, and that some people can be ashamed of. And it leaves me right now, but there's a great quote out there that just basically says that if you put those moments that you could feel most ashamed about, it's actually really sexy, because when you're truthful mm-hmm. like that, it just opens up a whole different world of making progress, because people are there to say, hey, I've struggled with that too, I can help you. So now we're going to enter, let's say, the tip jar section. And in this section, I'd like to just ask you kind of quickly some questions where we can give a lot of tips that athletes can say, I could use that today. And I'm just going to start off with, name one thing that was holding you back from your current level.
Time that I didn't put work in. So instead of playing games, I got up and I did it, you know, instead of sitting in one place. As I said earlier, you can't just sit and expect something to happen. You have to do it. So work hard towards.
You can't have goals and then not take action. So exactly. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Best advice, never give up. Never give up. That's the best advice I got. And if I gave up again, I wouldn't be here where I'm at now. If you gave up on something, you wouldn't be there where you're at now. So everybody have to have goals in their life and stick to them. So never
give up. Love it.
Believe in yourself. And that's the only thing. Yeah.
What's one of the first things you like to do when you come to a new arena to compete?
To go and check out the track and make sure that everything, I know where everything is. So, for example, in track, you have to go and check in with the judges or refs, however you want to call them. Before the race, I would like to go see where the check-in area is, where the bathroom is, where the call area is, where they call you and bring you to the track. I like to see the moment before it happens. So I go there, I see everything, and you have to see yourself winning before you win. So I go on the track, I imagine the race, open my eyes, go back to my room, and the only thing is, I focus to execute as best as I can. That's something I do every time I go somewhere.
I love that. So check out the track, check out where you're going to be competing. Make sure you know where everything is, so you're really prepared, and then visualize yourself doing it. And this adds a lot of value. You know, athletes, if you can visualize, I know you're hearing it over and over. You're going to be hearing either, you know, coming up soon, actually, there's going to be an episode with a Serbian who played basketball. And one of the things that he mentions is visualizations and just how powerful it is every day to even try and visualize where you want to be and what you want to accomplish. What's a personal habit you believe contributes most to your success?
Even when I was not required to do anything, I still went out after it. I was always hungry for a change, and in a good way to do better. So I always, even if I don't do anything, I still research some stuff. So take a videos at practice, look it over and see what the little things, you're doing wrong, so you can get better at it. Always want to get better, and that's not only for athletes, that's for everybody out there. Always try to do better. Whatever you're doing, don't do it just to do it. Do it as best as you can. And one thing is, I don't like to waste time. So if I'm going to practice and going to a dinner, I'm going to engage with those friends at the dinner. I'm not just going to go there and be on my phone and be like, oh yeah, I was at a dinner with my friends. I think that's a waste of time. If you're doing something, do it with a full heart and do it because you want to do it. Do it. Don't do it because of just doing it, you know?
Yeah. Research is one of his habits, and be present always. Very, very important. And what's the best technique that you've found to get rid of negative thoughts while competing?
Only one thing, and that's focus again. I would listen to a little music, nothing much. I wouldn't listen to music at the competition area. I would just focus on one thing. I would like to hear, when I go to a competition where there's a lot of people in the audience, I like to hear them getting excited. And that pumps me more than listening to music. So when I hear people, okay, something's going on before me, maybe 100 meters or a long jump or shot, but it depends. It doesn't really matter. When you hear these people getting cheering on somebody and getting really excited, that pumps me up so hard that I just want to go out there and execute it as best as I can. You know?
So surrounding yourself with people that basically give off the energy that you want to have in your competition.
Yes, exactly.
And how long do you sleep, and what's your morning ritual?
Well, it depends. How long I sleep. I try to adjust my sleep to my schedule. If I'm going to school, then I would, let's say if I have a class at 8 o'clock, I will be in bed by 11:15. If I don't have a class at 8 o'clock, then I could allow myself to stay a little later and then sleep about 8 hours or so. In the morning, I like to have breakfast because that's the part that gives me energy throughout the whole day. And I think that's the most important meal of the day, having breakfast. And of course, I can't remember having coffee because if I don't have a coffee in the morning, I'll have a headache. So having coffee in the morning, eating a little breakfast, either one fruit, two fruits, or some cereal and milk, but something really light, just so I can eat a little more calories and a better lunch afterwards.
And what tool or, let's say, resource do you use to improve yourself as a person?
As I said, I do research. As a person, I can't really say anything about myself. You have to ask some other people that know me. But everything, I ask my friends always, hey, tell me what I'm doing wrong so I can make it better. You know, if I'm doing something that annoys you, please tell me so I can work on it. Always trying to do something better than the previous time.
Yeah. And what's a tool or habit you love to use to stay healthy?
I use nutrition to stay healthy, and I also talk to a bunch of people about what should we eat and what should we not eat at one point of the day. Should I eat sugars and all that kind of thing? And I also use YouTube because it has a bunch of tutorials and other things. On YouTube, you can find anything. So whatever you type, it'll come out there, and it helps a lot because sometimes you just can't reach those people that you want to talk to. And instead of waiting for like a week or so, you can just go yourself and find it out. And always try to stay with new research that comes out and try to stay positive and healthy, because that's the only way to success.
And listeners, you can find all of this and even books that he likes, eating, travel tips, all that kind of stuff in the show notes at beyondathletic.com. Just type in Milan, M-I-L-A-N, in the search and you'll find him. So adding value to people is extremely important, Milan. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
And definitely. What I would like to know now is, what's a way? Give us an example of ways that you like to add value to other people's lives.
I would like to be involved in other people's life in a positive way. Not only when they need you, but always. So being a part of your friend's life is very important for them and to you, because you both learn from each other. So having somebody that you can talk to, having somebody that you can go to dinner with, having somebody just to sit with you, not do nothing else, is a great value to somebody. And it means a lot to me, because there's not many people around you that can do that. No. And it's a great thing to do.
And what's a cause, or let's say thing, that you like to do that people don't really know about at all?
Let's see. I don't know if many people know that I like volunteering, because I don't put it out there just to get some publicity to myself, you know. Not that I'm famous or anything. I'm just saying, like, I don't want to help somebody just because that will bring me up in someone else's eyes, you know. I help somebody because I think it makes me feel better, and makes those people feel better, you know? So I like to help people out, but that's one thing probably not many people know about me.
And Milan, I know we talked about this and about Elite Sports Students, the non-for-profit project that I've got going. And I just want to put this out there for anyone listening, young athletes, if you're looking to find mentors, to find solutions to the issues you might be having in school, maybe you aspire to go to America like Milan, or Canada for college, let's say, and you're looking for somebody to help you, you're looking for a group of like-minded people, just go to beyondathletic.com/ESS for elite sports students and sign up. And what you're going to do is you're going to be able to get in touch with people just like Milan. And once per month, you're going to be able to get answers to your questions. And this will be a great way for you to grow in your sport and surround yourself with great people. So thanks so much for sharing that. And you know what? You never do volunteer for the glory, Milan. I agree. And anybody who's doing that, you definitely got to second question yourself. Like, what is my real motive for this? Because adding value to people is just a great way to just put more back into the world, because the world gives us so much. Now, before we tell listeners how to connect with you personally and follow you on your journey, I've got two things left. And I haven't done this so far on Beyond Athletics, so I'm throwing you a doozy, because you definitely didn't hear this in a couple episodes. But okay. I'm giving you a do-over, Milan. You're going to be able to start from the exact same place that you did before you, okay, let's say, chose to really go into your sport. So you got all the same resources, but now you have this podcast to provide mentors in all subjects of life and sport. What would you do differently to set yourself up for success?
Oh, wow. As I said, have a plan. I didn't realize I needed a plan since, let's say, 2010 when I came to college. So having a plan and having a goal in your life is something that you have to stick with. It's not something that just pops in your head and, oh, I want to do this. Well, yeah, that will always happen, and everybody does that. But if you have a big goal in your life which will change your life, I mean, I'm talking here, coming to college here, it's not just something you want to do. If you want to come to college, yeah, it's great, but you have to look at all the pros and cons. So coming to college is a great idea. If you have a good mindset, then you're good. If you're a negative, then I don't think you will last here or anywhere else. Having a goal in life, I always wanted to come to college. I'm the first one graduating from my family. That's why I said walking over the stage is the proudest moment of my life, because nobody in my family did it before. You know, I'm the first one, and it feels great. Another thing is that if you stick with those plans, then if you execute each goal each year, or if you have a week to do whatever you want to do, stick with it, give time to it, don't just waste your life, do something with it. And it's something to be aware of, because this time goes super fast. And right now is 2015. And you know, when I watch Back to the Future in, like, I don't even know, like 2003?
Yeah.
I thought 2015 was like, wow, flying cars, are you kidding? Like, have a goal. The time goes fast. Stick to it. That's it.
Love it. Now, the name Beyond Athletic, it came from somewhere. And I know a lot of foreigners, actually, they hear that and they kind of go, what is Beyond Athletic, right? And basically, Beyond Athletic just means the sport that we play as athletes, it's just a vehicle. And that vehicle is, let's say, on the road of life, right? And so basically, yep, sport is just part of the journey. It's not the destination. Now, mm-hmm, one of the things I love to highlight in this show, because it's so important, is that right now, one out of four, or actually one out of five children from 7 to 13 years old say an athlete's their role model. And that's with over 30% being in trouble with the law of all athletes. Yeah. And that's with, like, the stats on just the people who are broke, they're divorced, they're, mm-hmm, injured after just 2 to 5 years of, like, stopping their sport. It's just atrocious. It's terrible. And so with all that in mind, what I'd like, mm-hmm, to ask you is, what's your definition of being an athlete?
That's a hard question. being an athlete is something very unique, first of all. We're all athletes out there. Depends how you use your athletic abilities. to change things around you or do things for yourself or for somebody else. Being an athlete is, for me personally, is something that I enjoy the most. Being an athlete allowed me to do all the things that I did so far in my life. Finish school, compete at some meets that I wasn't even thinking of I would be able to compete. Meet some great people in my life. Get some opportunities to go to grad school. Being an athlete is just something that opened doors for so many things that will help you later on in life.
I love that. Being an athlete is just something that opens doors for so many other things in life. Thanks so much. Now, I'd like to turn it over to you, Milan. Just share some parting pieces of wisdom and then how listeners can connect with you, and then we can say goodbye.
Okay, so everybody who wants to connect with me, have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer you. My email is, my personal email is milanristic110@yahoo.com. And if you just want to ask me a question, put as a subject, put a question for Milan, because I got so many emails just spam. So please put the subject in so I can, I don't throw away your email. Let's say some words of wisdom. Well, if you, again, this is coming again and again and again. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on anybody. Give a chance to everybody and give a chance to yourself, because if you want it bad, you'll do it. It just, it's all in your head how bad you want it. That's it. If you want it so bad, then you'll go after it. If you just think you want it, then it might take some time, because you'll be changing your mind every now and then. Just have a goal, stick to it, don't give up. When someone tells you, hey, it's worthless doing this, don't listen to anybody. Listen to your heart, and you'll be where you want to be.
I love that. Give a chance to everyone and to yourself, and then listen to your heart, and you'll be where you want to be. Thanks so much. I just want to acknowledge you, Milan, for being the kind of person that actually is willing to do something that they haven't done. And I know I kind of cold contacted you, but I like to look for people who really excel, not just in sport, but also off the field of whatever sport they're playing. And so you seem like one of those people, and it turns out you are. This is a fantastic interview. And you know, my goal is to help beyond 1 million current and future athletes become three-dimensional people that can leave legacies, not just for their family, but for the world. There's no better example than athletes like you that excel in and out of their sport as people. So I want to just thank you for that, and thank you for being on the show, bud.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us, and share the love. Think of one person that could benefit and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us at @beyondathletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.